Welcome back to Arts About, everybody.
Show about art that's a work of art in itself, Sally, coming to you from the Bendigo Bank studio. And as I normally say, I can see the sign over there, the Bendigo Bank sign. But there's also those two black things on the wall.
What black thing? Oh, yes.
What are they?
They are acoustic boards. They're to sort of baffle the sound and make it sound sweet in here.
They wouldn't look out of place in a big white room with a polished wooden floor, would they?
No, but I think that they might be a little bit soft. They're quite soft, you know.
Oh, but they're, you know, they're works of art if you want to put them in the right room.
They are. They're geographical. Geometrical, I meant.
I've been staring at them because there's nothing else to look at in here because just you and I, Sally.
It is just you and I. Nobody's come to do the sliders this morning. Swanee's away and Brody hasn't turned up.
Right.
So that's going to be fun, me operating. Good morning to you, John Baird, our cultural sounding board and artist in residence. Even Sabra's away.
Yeah.
She's decided that she's got to do a catch up on a bit of reading.
Yeah. Well, if she doesn't read, she's got nothing to talk about.
No, that's true. I'm Sally Bailey and you're listening to Arts About. John, what have you got this week?
Oh, I'm going to take us all back to more rooftop activities around the city of Melbourne.
Oh.
We've had Paper Plane Day and
yes,
various other events, but this is more activity and somewhat in memoriam.
Oh, really? Mm. Okay, I'll look forward to that. We have ex-local Jim Lawson going to talk to us this week. Many of you out there will already know him for his comedy and acting and because he used to be in charge at SPAC before he left us.
Yeah.
But he's going to fill us in one of his latest ventures that's going to be on at La Mama at the end of the month.
I'm looking forward to talking to Jim.
Yeah. Mish Eisen, also of Promerging Arts, has a new exhibition up and running and she's cooking another project as well that she's going to talk to us about.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a photograph of something in front of me.
Yes, she's going to talk about that. And of course, Cliffy will be here too to lash us with his tongue. And while we get our first guest, Jim Lawson, on the line, here's some Ethiopian music from Rokia Traore from her album Beautiful Africa with a track of the same name. Appropriating celebrities as local products is very much an Australian tradition, and I'd like to do the same this morning with once local and very accomplished champion of the performing arts, Jim Lawson. Previously a resident of the peninsula, Jim is a writer, actor, director, producer and educator, and he's a former program manager at the Arts Centre, a former CEO of Young People in the Arts Australia and a one-time manager of the Southern Peninsula Arts Centre, and of course he is a friend of the show. Most lately he became the founder and creative director of Vessel, a regional and independent performance arts company that develops innovative and dynamic arts projects in theatre and community engagement. Vessel, like Jim, is now based in South Gippsland and currently has a program in development called Make My Play. And it's part of a larger animal, I think, called Play for Australia. And Make My Play is a feast of ultra-short plays by writers from across the state. And it's going to be on at La Mama on the 21st, 22nd and 3rd of November. Jim's on the road now on his way back from the Natty Fringe Festival based in Natimook in the wheat belt of Western Victoria, and he's hopefully pulling over onto the side of the road so he can talk to us this morning about it. Jim, are you there?
G'day, Sally. I'm definitely here. I am well pulled over.
That's good.
At a service station kind of outside Ararat.
Are you?
Very happily ensconced here, ready to talk to you. So.
That's sensational.
Thanks for the call.
Since you left us, Jim, among many things you've been doing is you've founded Vessel.
Yep.
So before we go into talking about your latest project on at La Mama, can you give us an outline of Vessel?
I founded Vessel in 2013, and really that was a way to develop projects of my own and also to give form to... Really, in a way, Vessel is the explanation of Vessel is really around containers and the kind of containers that we can, you know, hold ourselves in. And Vessel was a way for me to contain all the parts of myself as a creative person. So I could use that entity to develop different styles of projects that would suit my creative needs at any given time. So it covers a whole range of things, particularly performing arts, and that's my background is theatre. And so it means I can work as a writer and a director and, in a range of capacities and also developing projects that are solo projects and community projects or projects that might involve partnerships. And that's a really big part of what Vessel does is partner to create distinctive projects and programs. So one of the partnerships is with the National Celtic Festival in Port Arlington, where I really operate as a creative producer there, developing a theatre program when it didn't exist, and partnerships with Transvision Theatre, which has Transvision Theatre is a company run by Anna Lowendahl. They had a project called Make My Play, and I have a project, and Vessel has a project called Play for Australia. And Play for Australia comes, the catalyst for Play for Australia comes from an Irish project called Tiny Plays for Ireland by Fishamble Theatre in Dublin. I spent, when I founded Vessel, it was just after I'd spent about 6 months in Ireland in 2013, and I'd done a fair bit of work with a range of directors from Ireland, directors, dramaturgs and writers from the Abbey Theatre and Fishamble and Druid Theatre in Galway. So, and one of the kind of joys of that experience has been that those people who are quite incredible artists in their own right have, you know, been good enough to come to Australia in the last sort of 2 years. I've had three international guests here from Ireland to join in some of the projects I'm developing. So it's been a great time, really, and busy, and getting anything off the ground takes a fair bit of energy. But things are now, the landscape is looking pretty good. The project Play for Australia is looking like it will stretch out till 2018, and Make My Play, which is really the community component. There's companion projects. Play for Australia is a curated, non-competitive, ultra-short play project,
mm-hmm.
and that. We're just looking at some funding. If hopefully, Sally, the money that George Brandis decided to take away from the Australia Camper goes back to the Australia Camper.
Oh, well, we've all got our fingers crossed for that one.
And
but we're not holding our breath.
No. I think Byfield looks an interesting kind of guy. I think he's a bit more in touch. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And mm-hmm. Once we get the funding, we'll roll that out. But Make My Play is the project that we've been running. I was supported by Creative Gippsland to run a project in Yunnar. There's a beautiful space in a little town called Yunnar outside of Morwell called Arc Yunnar, and it's a visual arts and music venue, and it has a little theatre. And we ran a residency there over a couple of days earlier in the year. Those writers, I've just been down there a couple of weeks ago to see them at their open mic night. It's the first time they've done theatre in Yunnar, as part of their open mic, and those writers will be coming to La Mama on the 22nd, the Sunday night.
Yep.
I'm also working with three younger writers, emerging writers from Melbourne, who'll be reading their works on that night. And Anna Lowendahl has been working with a group in Stratford in Gippsland, and they will be doing theirs on the Saturday night. So she's working with them creating ultra-short plays as well. So what we mean by an ultra-short play is up to 600 words, so it's about 4 minutes
right.
long.
Yes.
And then on the Monday night...
How long did you say? Sorry, 6 minutes?
About 4 minutes,
600
words.
4 minutes, yeah.
And then on the Monday night we'll run a workshop, so people would be most welcome to come, and in an hour and a half you'll write a play and read it. So, and that's what we did at Nattymuck too yesterday. We ran a workshop, and people had... an ultra-short play to walk away with. And the idea is, you know, the purpose of the project is to, in fact, hand over that work and not own it. We're trying to drive a conversation here about a diversity of voices and empowering people to share their views. So, you know, it's then up to a community or a group to take their place further.
Mm.
A woman, Catherine from Yunnar, her work is called Wife's Lot, and it explores the Lot's Wife kind of parable, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
And it's extraordinary, and it's now 15 minutes long. So she keeps working at it and developing it. And that was the experience out of Fishamble too, that the tiny plays that were written, they ended up with 50 of those. They actually had, I think it was 1,700 applications to their national call-out. They chose 50, but a number of those they developed into full works and now two of them internationally. So So it's got real power, the project, and momentum now. So well, that's pretty exciting.
Very exciting, and very exciting for the communities that are involved, because this is, you know, stories coming out, and you know, for communities, that's a really exciting thing to actually be empowered by hearing things that are going on or attitudes and that are happening in different places. Now, I love the strap line. It's in 600 words, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And it's a feast of ultra short plays written by writers across the state. So, but it says it's raw rehearsed readings and performances. So presumably they're taking place in whatever form they're at this particular point.
That's exactly right. So, for example, some of the folk from Yunnar have developed their work a little bit further. The people from Stratford are at a different point. It will be, although they are actually particularly, they have their own company there, so they're more practiced theatre makers, but their work will be less developed. So how they want to present is really, again, up to them. And then some of the younger writers will be simply reading. Mm. But it's deliberately raw. It's not slick in any way. It's really about the writing, and then the conversations are about that craft, but it's also about the ideas that are present and what people are trying to say, what they want to say. So it's really not about a slick night at the theatre. It's much more. And I'm finding more and more that the power of, taking out technical, kind of technical aspects actually adds a whole different dimension to the work. And the audience, audiences are incredibly intelligent, of course, and, they go with you on that. So, and do the work themselves around imagining it. And that's the experience we've had definitely with, audiences at the National Celtic Festival, where we've done readings rather than, not a festival designed or set up to have, huge technical resources behind it. So
it's much more about the... Sorry? Much more about the content.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, it's on at La Mama on the Saturday, Sunday and Monday. That's the 21st, 22nd and 23rd of November. It sounds to me like it's really something that would particularly interest people who are interested in actually participating in creating theatre.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that Monday is a workshop, so people could just come along. I think it's... The tickets are $15, and it's part of the Exploration series, and there are quite an incredible range of shows on in this series at La Mama over the spring. So people might kind of find out about a whole lot of other work that's going on as well. But the Monday night is definitely an invitation for people to come and join in and write an ultra short play. And the idea leading to the extended and curated season is that we will actually hold a national call out for plays that will, combine with the curated works, the commissioned writers. And that's the other thing, I've had a couple of conversations with Patricia Cornelius, who's agreed to be part of the program going forward, and Ross Mueller. And these established writers are really talking about the compression and the discipline of saying something in 600 words, and they're kind of really excited about that. So, I guess the other thing too is that sometimes those limits are actually quite liberating. Sometimes when we put a kind of a boundary around something, what we can do inside that is actually can be more, not more creative, but it's a liberation to that creativity.
Yeah. Learning the craft. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Jim Lawson.
Pleasure,
it's
thanks.
Wonderful. Can you please keep us in the loop with all of that?
Sure.
Because if you're doing other call-outs or got other programs, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, fantastic.
Everybody, if you want to find out more, go to the lamama.com.au for tickets if you want to get along there, 21st, 22nd and 23rd of November. Thanks so much, Jim Lawson.
Thanks so much, Lily. Thanks for your interest.
Safe driving. Be careful back on that road.
Bye.
And now it's time for John On. Indeed it is.
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing about some more of your rooftop activities, John.
Take us back 24, 25 years ago, while the gas and fuel building still stood.
Oh, yes.
And I had quite a few friends who lived around the city of Melbourne in studios, mostly visual artists, mostly out of RMIT and Paran and those sorts of art schools. And amongst them was a fellow called Glenn Graham, who, as it turns out, wasn't a visual artist. He was a ladies' hairdresser and somewhat out of the mould of a ladies' hairdresser. I don't know whether this is an appropriate thing to say or not, but he was very heterosexual.
Right. Yes.
And somewhat of a bodybuilder in the Arnie Schwarzenegger sort of mould. And to describe him in an easy way, perhaps, would at least his physicality, I can suggest that he was often seen at Victoria Market pretty well dressed like Tarzan.
No,
perhaps
really?
Even a little oiled up.
With a loincloth?
Oh, yeah, and a little really? Oiled up with a canvas bag over his shoulder, sort of down there to get fruit and vegetables for the week.
Don't. when are we talking? It must be the 80s.
Late 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, loincloth. Maybe 1990, actually.
Really? Yeah. That's late for a loincloth.
Yes. Yeah, and he was a splendid man and a beautiful-looking man. And he lived in a caretaker's flat above and on the roof of Newspaper House in Collins Street, which has a lot of mosaic all over the front of the building, very beautiful building. And the caretaker's flat was no less beautiful than the rest of the building. It was a very elegant apartment with a big roof garden. He got involved with his mother in a property thing in Brisbane, and they bought a house together. They were renovating it and they were going to sell it. And unfortunately, Glenn was electrocuted in the ceiling of this house and he was killed. And he was a great loss to everyone around Melbourne. And because of his contact with the centre of Melbourne and people who lived there and his involvement with things like Paper Plane Day and those sorts of things.
You never mentioned that there was a loincloth guy on Paper Plane Day.
Well, I'm mentioning it now.
Okay.
You didn't wear the loincloth all the time.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah,
sometimes you had a pair of pants on, never a shirt. We decided to behave in memoriam on Glenn's behalf. And he, because he knew all of these people who lived in all of these buildings, we decided to use the building in some way. He was also a habitué of various bars and cafes around the centre of Melbourne. So we went on a bit of a tour of bars and cafes around Melbourne and up onto buildings and lit a bonfire on the top of various buildings, most of them up Flinders Street.
Really?
Opposite the gas and fuel buildings and looking out over the King's Domain there. All the way up to the Lindrum building.
Mm.
So all the way along there.
Several bonfires?
Seven.
Seven?
Yeah. And didn't occur to anyone that the fire brigade might be interested in.
Or you might burn the buildings down.
Well, no, there was no real danger of that. Most of these buildings had sort of concrete rooftops. And
right.
It was quite sort of, wasn't that difficult to light a fire and behave reasonably safely, although it was also very reckless, I have to admit. But the fire brigade did, in fact, get interested.
Mm. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, about 3 or 4 in the morning, a couple of fire trucks turned up in Flinders Street and they came up a staircase and spoke to myself and a few other people in one of the buildings and asked what was going on. As soon as they could see people there who were tending the fire, they wanted to know what was going on. As it turns out, there wasn't at the time a law against lighting a fire on the roof of a building. And there was something about possibly endangering the city.
So they weren't freaking out and they weren't sort
Well,
of
they
angry.
Were annoyed, right. But they weren't freaking out, no.
Yeah.
And they didn't put the fires out. They asked us to make sure that we tended them and pointed out that they had no real sort of policing
power
over that. I'm sure if they wanted to put the fires out, they could have.
Yeah.
I think that they might have known Glenn, actually.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, what a wonderful memorial to have had these fires going all
well,
at once.
Well, in order to slow things down a bit, we went out to, a couple of us went over the road and got up some bags of wood chips out of the gardens on the side of the river and leaves and stuff and put them on top of these fires so that there was more smoke than flame.
Yeah, right.
But my friend Marcus heard later that the fire brigade said that at 7 a.m., 7:30, 8 a.m., when people were arriving for work, Their switchboard was jammed with people ringing, the city's on fire.
Saying the building
fire.
Was on fire.
There's a lot of smoke coming off those buildings.
Well, I hope that Glenn kind of got a sense of that somewhere off in the ether.
Well, I hope he did too. Yeah, he was a marvellous man.
Oh, what a pity that that he's gone.
Indeed.
Thanks for that, John.
I might have that morning gone off probably back to my studio and put on the Saints at concert volume, I reckon.
Would you? Yes, because they would have been appropriate. Well, while we get Mish on the line in a second, we're going to hear a little bit of that Australian punk from the 70s. I remember seeing them for the very first time at the Pier Hotel down in Frankston, actually, when I was about 16.
Oh, I bet you loved it.
Oh, they were fantastic.
Is your dad listening?
Yeah, I hope my parents are not listening. Friend of the show, Mish Eisen, joins us this morning to fill us in on some of what she has going on. There's another exhibition at Promerging Art Space in Ocean Beach Road, and one of them is Sarah Hudson, and her exhibition, Beauty of Things, is on now, I hear, Mish. Sorry, Mish, did I just cut you off?
I'm back.
Oh, you're back there. Great.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I believe you've got a new exhibition on at Ocean Beach Road.
I do. It's a Promerging Art Space. Hi, John.
Hi, Mish. How are you going?
I'm well, thanks. Nice and rainy. Is it rainy down there today?
Yeah, it's a bit grey.
Yeah, a bit drizzly.
Looking out the window. It could be Brendan hosing. I can't tell.
Oh, great day for going to a gallery, though.
Always a great day for going to a gallery, Mish.
Absolutely. Especially to go and have a look at the beautiful exhibition of Sarah Hudson, which she is a rather masterful ceramicist who works in porcelain. So her exhibition called The Beauty of Things is currently up at the Promerging Art Space, been there for a couple of weeks and on for the next 10 days or so.
Yep.
Have either of you had a chance to go?
I haven't seen it, Mish.
No, not yet.
But I'm going to go down and have a look.
But we're looking at a series of photographs of some very delicate-looking white ceramics in the shape of bamboo sections.
Yeah, she's cast from bamboo. So she uses natural objects to cast and inspire her work. And, you know, interestingly, in contrast to Max's, which was so bright and bold, this very beautiful and quiet and delicate. So this
and
is a
3D.
Absolutely. So this is a series of bamboo vessels and vases. So they're all glazed inside. So they're not just a beautiful piece of art, they're actually functional as well. So there's, you know, there's sort of sets of threes or sixes, and all in this stunning porcelain. And then as well, she creates these absolutely fine porcelain petals and threads them with silk thread.
Mm.
And so they're suspended from the ceiling. So, you know, that they have a sort of, you know, beautiful visual quality, but also have, you know, an aural quality as well, because they sort of tinkle.
She was
stunning.
She was a recipient of the Australia Council Art Start, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. Yeah,
I was going to say she's highly awarded and very much exhibited. She's a young woman.
You know, and noticed by Japan, which is an absolute credit to her. So she's a wonderful, she's incredibly dedicated, and she also practices as a graphic designer as well, so she has that, you know, 0.567 of a millimetre approach to her work. There's some jewellery as well, some stunning necklaces, and so again, she handcrafts every tiny little porcelain bead, and it's really stunning, beautiful work.
Where did you come across her?
She had written a lovely comment in one of our previous exhibitions, Mina Loft, who was the textile artist, and so I had a look at her website and contacted her, it was quite a fortuitous.
So you didn't do your normal go and get someone out of the back door of an art school?
No, it was an unusual, introduction, but certainly very pleased I came across her. So she'll be up for a while.
What's coming up in the future?
And following her is a young photographer from VCA from last year, Eliza Freeman, who has just a series of silver gelatin prints from her. She's a Tasmanian, and so she photographs the very dramatic landscapes of the west coast of Tasmania, and they're stunning photographs. And then a delightful girl, Cecilia Casillas, who's a Mexican girl living in Melbourne, who was studied the jewellery, what's it called, object and silversmithing practice, or object in space practice, I don't know what the jewellery exhibition, jewellery course has become at RMIT, some convoluted name. But in any case, she does the these, you know Exquisite Corpse, the game that you might have played with children where you draw the head and you fold the paper and then you fold it over and then you pass it on and the next person draws
of the
arm.
Abdomen. Yes, I love that. Yeah. What do you call it?
It's called Exquisite Corpse.
Oh, I've never called it that, but I do know the game you mean.
Yeah, and so she put out a project to friends and family to come up with drawings, and from that she's crafted these wonderful 3D creations. So they're sort of quasi-jewellery, quasi-wall-mounted, beautiful, incredible little creatures. So, and, you know, works in resin and metal and fabric and, you know, they're quite small. They're probably, you know, maximum, I don't know, 200 mil high sort of thing. But so they're these little quirky creatures. So that will be sort of leading up to mid-December. And then in mid-December, we've got a Tom Rippon bonanza.
A Tom Rippon bonanza, which isn't happening in the Antipodes art space in Sorrento, is it?
No, well, there's a sort of cross-pollination. So we're actually hosting a huge event, we're calling it. So it's this sort of new
I like bonanza.
An exhibition as event rather than...
Yep.
You know, exhibition in the white space. So we're sort of testing the boundaries of exhibition. And so we've got a large exhibition of Tom's sculptures at Stillwater at Crittenden, which is in Dramana. And, in fact, we went to collect some of the works yesterday from him in Clunes loaded up a ridiculous trailer load and ute load of creatures that then travelled back along the Western Highway to Melbourne, so that was pretty funny.
Some of our listeners may remember you talking about his work previously, because I think it was last year you had a small exhibition of his work down in Sorrento, didn't you? And they're the big wire animal sculptures, sort of fluoro or brightly coloured, yes.
Yeah, so this is like another scale again. You know, there's a full-size grizzly bear, polar bear, enormous elephant, giraffe, and then some sort of smaller works. There's a fat lab, you know, Labrador and the greyhound and some, a cassowary. There's a whole place, you know, there's this Animalia exhibit. So that's actually a long exhibition too. That'll be from December the 12th to the 20th of February, and it's very exciting because as I said, it's sort of testing this whole new model, and the fabulous Jackie and Zach Pullier from Stillwater Crittenden are collaborating to host the event. So that's really exciting. And then at the same time-ish, we'll be doing an exhibition of Tom's work, but as light boxes. So they're photographs of his work, and then they're turned into three-dimensional light boxes.
And that will be on at in Sorrento at Antipodes?
That'll be on in Sorrento, yeah.
Yes,
so that'll
okay.
be
so at the same time.
That's not quite as long as the sculpture show.
Yep.
But and there's, you know, there's various events through the sculpture show as well. They host this crazy Carl Cox dance party in February, in which for that event we're actually going to move all the sculptures onto the roof. And it's a day event. So, you know, and there's various speakers, and Tom, we're talking about Tom actually sort of being quasi-residential for a week and making work there, and so we'll approach the schools. And so it's this whole sort of bonanza, as I said.
Bonanza, it is a bonanza. You've been very, very busy, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Are you tearing your hair out, or are you okay?
Pardon?
Are you tearing your hair out, or are you okay?
Last week was quite intense, but I'm fine this week, thanks. Yeah.
Well, it must have been very funny.
But it's all for a was yeah. Good.
So. Must have been very funny following the trailer yesterday with all these creatures on board.
Oh, it was great. Oh, well, we're going to have a dedicated Facebook and Instagram site for the show, so we'll be, you know, we'll be posting journeys of the animals up there.
Fabulous. Well, make sure you keep in touch. I will, of course, because I have seen now that there is that you have got your a Facebook page up and running. So I'll make links on our Facebook page as well about mm-hmm. the exhibitions and the event at Stillwater. So if any chance you get, keep us up to date, won't you?
Absolutely. Well, I'll send you through all the information anyway, and then you can. Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Can we just quickly mention that it's Sarah Hudson on at Promerging Art Space in Antipodes Gallery in Sorrento, Ocean Beach Road is on now, and Tom Rippon comes up on what date did you say?
12th of December. 12th. Oh, at Antipodes it'll be about the 18th of December.
Yep.
And the Stillwater event opens on the 12th.
Fantastic.
You'll see there'll be posters and postcards and paraphernalia. Of course.
What we would expect. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Mish Eisen. It's wonderful to hear all that news, and good luck with it all.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Now, actor and blogger Cliff Ellen has once again taken his place at the coalface of Arts About this morning to deliver a little of his much anticipated acerbity. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Sally. Good morning,
Joe. Oh, I haven't turned your mic on. Hold on one sec.
Oh, they haven't turned my mic on.
there you go. You're there now.
Chopped me out. Hello, John.
G'day, Cliff.
How are you this morning?
Not too bad. I. What was that last lady you had on?
That was Mish Eisen.
Yeah, that's up at Sorrento, isn't it?
Yes, she's got Antipodes Gallery space.
Yeah, the Reclaim Rye mob have arrived in their numbers.
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh.
I can't travel can't get too out. Far. It's hard enough to get here, you know. People look at you funny here.
What did you call them? The Reclaim Rye?
Yeah.
Is that all the campers? Is that what you mean?
Well, it's about 15% of the people. Right. The rest are normal. 15% are idiots.
Yes.
I noticed, I was listening to last week's show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were telling me you read some Russian classic on the lawn at the...
Outside the State Library.
I used to read a lot there, lounging around on the lawn.
Not in the late 60s, I had.
Well, then, not. Well,
I don't think you could read then.
Not much later than that. In the mid 70s, probably.
I worked
early
70s in Department of Supply. I was a
you could probably see me.
Audit inspector, and I look across at all these people sitting on the lawn, and I'm thinking, some nice girls there. I'd like to sit there, but of course I couldn't because I worked across the road.
Well, I wasn't only there for the literature.
No.
No. I listened to the show as well, and when you said that, I thought, I wonder, was he actually concentrating on the book or was he concentrating on how he looked reading the book?
Well, everything and how they looked reading their books.
There were some funny sights over there, that's for sure. What have we got here today? You've put me on a bit early, but
have we
got Frankie and Johnny at 45 downstairs, which I think opens later this week, with the gorgeous Kate Kendall in it. She's with Damien Richardson. It's well worth looking at, directed by Colette Mann, which is a great space if you've got the energy to walk up those steps at the end of the performance, which is a bit difficult.
Did you say that's at 45 downstairs?
Yeah. Well, is it Frankie and Johnny or something?
Yeah.
But Kate Kendall's gorgeous, you know, for an old bloke. Did you go and see... Audra McDonald, anyone?
No.
I was there.
Oh, was that at the Belvoir?
No. That was on at the Hamer Hall.
Ah.
She's a black woman. She's had six Tonys, I think. She won six Tonys. She's outstanding. Standing ovation. Beautiful singer. Only a one-off performance, but magic it was.
Was it?
Yes. As for the Sydney show that I said I was going to see.
Yes.
What was it called? Mortido. Yeah. No, I didn't go because although I booked for opening night, they said they were booked out.
Oh,
which basically means, because they're not booked out, it basically means that it's so long since I've been up there that my name means nothing.
Oh.
They always say it's booked out.
Right.
In fact, they always overbook. But yes, I could have got
it. Are you listening, Belvoir Theatre? I think Cliff's on to you.
Well, they do those things. But so does Malthouse, so does the MDC. You know, unless you know somebody, you're not going to get in. I know one or two in Sydney, but I didn't feel like ringing up and saying, look, can you get me a seat? I hate doing that sort of thing. What else have we got? Oh, the Palms at Crown Casino. Now, this fascinates me. I don't know who goes to the Crown Casino. I think tonight Lee Kernaghan's on singing under the title of The Spirit of the Anzacs. Look, good on him. I suppose he's nice. Next week they've got Tom Berlinson singing his Frank Sinatra piece. But I wonder what they cost, these shows. I've never been. Have you been, John?
No.
Would you ever go?
No.
No.
But I'll tell you something.
What?
Yeah.
You'll be interested in this, Cliff. Amanda and I went and saw, and in fact spoke about on this show, the show Limbo.
Yes.
Yeah. In town at the Spiegel Tent. Limbo's coming to Sorrento to the Spiegel Tent for the summer.
Is it really?
Yeah.
How fantastic. That's exciting.
So they'll have that marvellous band marching up and down the main street of Sorrento, no doubt, and all of those terrific acrobatic kind of performances going on.
Amazing, those Spiegel Tents, aren't they?
Mm.
Oh, well, that's really good for all of us who may have missed Limbo.
Yeah, it's a much smaller tent, of course, in Sorrento.
Yeah.
But I think James and the Benny's team will figure out how to accommodate that properly.
Oh, that's terrific news.
Mm. No, I went to the one in Melbourne, of course. I think I had too much to drink.
Did you?
Yeah, it's a huge place. Goodness gracious. Mm. What have we got coming up? Well, Matilda's opening on March the 13th, and big raps for that. So if you want a book. But more importantly for the actors, auditions are on in January for the Book of Mormon. So it's worthwhile checking that out on the internet if you're a budding famous actor. The Book of Mormon's got rave reviews, but somebody tells me Matilda's better. I haven't seen either of them. Ozflix has been launched next year, which is Aussie Films. We've got to wait and see what it means. I'm not sure.
Right. Yes, Karen Fairfax is involved with that.
Yeah, well, there's not enough details at the moment.
No, I think it's still beginning. We'll probably get her on to talk about it one of these days.
Yes, and The Dressmaker,
Haven't seen it yet.
Not bad, yes. Pretty good. The standout is Judy Davis. She's fantastic.
She's always been good.
Yeah, she has, I know. Hugo Weaving, of course, is great. And Kate Winslet, yeah, she's pretty good, I suppose. Good show, good film, well directed. And
well, you love that director, don't you?
For sweets, dessert, whatever you call it, you get Shane Jacobson. He's in it too. Can't beat that, can you?
Apparently not.
No, go and see The Dressmaker. It's about 10 times better than The Secret Lie or The Brilliant Lie.
Oh, I watched the first one of that.
Did you?
Yes, I did. And I tended to agree with you about the central couple. They're just not the charisma or the it's just not there. I actually, though, enjoyed it, and I'm going to watch the second one.
Well, what about, what did I say, Fragmented, didn't I?
Yeah, you said it was fragmented, but you didn't believe the intensity of the central couple. That's
no,
what you said
that
last
was the
week.
Key. I did watch episode 3.
Did you?
But I watched it on a sort of fast-forward basis. There's quite a few love scenes. And
you go through those quickly, do you?
A bit boring.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Would you like to hear about me meeting Judy Davis?
Have you met Judy? Who's she married to?
I don't know. But
isn't she married?
But this was a long time ago. I was sitting in Pellegrini's.
Mm.
And, in Pellegrini's they have stools along the bar. And I was sitting there so that I had a spare stool on either side of me.
Yeah.
And Judy Davis and Colin Friel walked in.
I think she's married.
She is. Yeah.
And she asked me if I would mind moving down a stool so that they could sit next to each other.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
I suggested that I'd rather sit in between them.
How did she look at you?
Fiercely.
I bet she did.
Colin Friel didn't talk to you.
No, he didn't say much to say at all.
Batch of Brisbane Bears. He's,
does he?
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
He's the most confident person I've ever run across in my life. But, three episodes I've seen of Sean McAuliffe's show.
Yeah.
The ex-Prime Minister.
Do they get any better?
Me up. Well, it's hard to say. I don't believe, again, Nicholas Bell in his romantic pieces with Nikki Wendt. So... Look, and Francis Greenslade, who's a great actor, but his part in it is hard to sort of fathom. It's okay.
All right. What are you doing this afternoon?
I don't know. I don't think I made any notes on what I'm doing this afternoon.
Oh, you could do anything. You're relaxing.
Either that or nothing.
No, I'll stay inside. I'll work inside. I don't go out until about 4:30.
And there are, as you say, a lot of people around.
There's a lot of people on the road, yeah. I know.
What's your song today?
Anything by Creedence Clearwater will do. See how calm I am today?
You are.
That's because I'm in shock from those reclaimed.
No need to be in shock, Cliff, but nice to speak to you.
That's all we've got time for that particular song, I'm afraid, Cliffy.
It is a great song.
It is a great song.
Not
loves
quite
Creedence.
As enjoyable in my way of thinking as the Saints.
No, nothing can outdo the Saints as far as I'm concerned either, John. I'm with you. There's a little bit of news. Don't forget, Australian Artists in Bali is still on at the McClelland Gallery. It's on until the end of the month. Go see it.
Yep. Lady Fox, Harlem Sound to the Speakeasy HQ in Melbourne, 7th and 14th of November. You know where to look to find out about that.
Yeah, great. Now, the NGV is hosting the largest ever Friday night program this year with 18 headline acts in starting from December going through to April. And going along on the Friday night will give you after hours access to the amazing exhibition Andy Warhol, Ai Weiwei. And there's all sorts of things on there. Friday night, 6 till 10 o'clock. Go to the NGV website to get all the details.
Sell and Refuse A, MPRG.
Yes, indeed. Go and have a look. I went and had a look last week. It's fabulous.
Yeah, pop down the lane and have a look at the Oak.
Oh, the Oak Hill Galleries. Oak Hill Gallery. The Little Archies is on at the same time. Now, we have been given, the MPRG has given us 10 double passes that are valid until the end of the month to go along and see the Salon de Refuse show. So if you would like a couple of passes to go and see that, send us, like us on Facebook and send us a note and I will arrange. You can either come and pick up the tickets from the station itself or I'll send them out to you. So let
us know. Or we can maybe pop them in an envelope at the MPRG.
That's right. So, but you need to communicate with us on our Facebook page in order to do that. And also, on Sunday the 8th of November down there, they're going to have artist talk. Ivan Durant, Shannon Smiley and Paul Borg are going to be there. It's no booking required. I think it's just normal access to get into the gallery to do that. So,
John Anderson in Collingwood at Australian Galleries.
Yep.
Got to be worth a look.
Absolutely. And the 41st Annual Dramana Art Show is on at the supported by the Rotary Club. So that's on at the Dramana Primary School on Friday the 6th. Now, if you've just tuned in, you've missed Arts About. So catch up on the show via podcast, which should appear on the station website sometime tomorrow. Or you can hear us repeated on air and streaming Wednesdays at 12 after Health Matters with Angela Jacobson. You'll find a link to our Facebook page on the RPP website or just Google us, and please come and join us again next Sunday at 11. And remember, everybody, we may not know everything about art.
But we know what we like. Well, it says that we might not know what we like.
I think we know what we like. I'm pretty sure we do.